news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Welcome back to a brand new year of What's News. We've been off for a week, using that time to switch out computers and rebuild my studio. It's still, unfortunately, a work in progress. And Progressive Voices was hit with a crypto virus that took the stream down for most of the past week and continues to plague us. That, too, is still a work in progress. But we made it out of the teens to 2020.
And I'm Barbara Walters, and this is 2020.
The Senate's impeachment trial plans are still up in the air. It's 32 days until the Iowa caucuses, 33 days until Trump's State of the Union address, and 40 days until the New Hampshire primary. We're off and running. U.S. troops fired tear gas and rubber bullets at protesters who descended on the U.S. embassy in Baghdad for a second time on Wednesday. The protests by hundreds of supporters of an Iranian-backed militia began Tuesday when they broke through a gate and set fire to a reception area as U.S. diplomats were barricaded inside the embassy. The militia fighters finally retreated across the Tigris River on Wednesday after days of clashes with U.S. and Iraqi security forces guarding the embassy and personnel in Baghdad. The conflict began after American airstrikes on Sunday killed 25 fighters from this Iran-backed militia in Iraq. The Trump administration said those U.S. strikes were in retaliation for last week's killing of an American contractor and the wounding of American and Iraqi troops in a rocket attack on an Iraqi military base that the U.S. blamed on the militia. The U.S. strikes also angered the Iraqi government, which called them an unjustified violation of its sovereignty. Trump on Tuesday threatened a, quote, big price for this week's violence, which he blamed on Iran, tweeting that, quote, Iran will be held fully responsible for lives lost or damage incurred at any of our facilities. He ordered about 750 U.S. soldiers to be deployed to the Middle East, as about 3,000 more prepared for possible deployment within days. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was scheduled to visit Ukraine on Wednesday, along with four other countries this week, but he postponed his travel to stay in Washington to monitor the situation in Iraq. Donald Trump, well, is not scheduled to return to Washington from Mar-a-Lago until Sunday. But that's not the only global trouble facing us. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un said Wednesday that his country would continue building its nuclear arsenal and soon unveil a new strategic weapon. Kim's comments came after his deadline passed for the United States to begin new talks on exchanging denuclearization progress and sanctions relief. He had warned he might take a new path if the U.S. ignored his ultimatum, raising concerns that North Korea would soon test an intercontinental missile and a nuclear warhead. Trump insists that their relationship is perfect, but the president's former national security advisor, John Bolton, tweeted on Wednesday that the U.S. should resume military exercises with South Korea and hold hearings to determine U.S. troop readiness on the Korean Peninsula in the wake of Kim's assertion that he can violate a ban on testing nuclear weapons. And so it goes. Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts issued his annual year-end report in which he touted the independence of the judiciary and the role of U.S. judges in promoting civic education. Wonder who he's talking to with this quote. In our age, when social media can instantly spread rumor and false information on a grand scale, the public's need to understand our government and the protections it provides is ever more vital, he wrote. Roberts will serve this year as the presiding judge at Trump's Senate impeachment trial. While the presidential campaigns are rolling out their 2019 fourth quarter fundraising numbers, and once again, Bernie Sanders blows them all away, pulling in a record $34.5 million, noting an average donation of $18.53, bringing his 2019 total to more than $96 million from over 5 million individual donations. Candidates have until January 31st to release their quarter four fundraising totals, but the numbers are starting to trickle out. South Bend, Indiana Mayor Pete Buttigieg reported a pretty huge haul of $24.7 million with an average contribution of $33 million. By the way, after 8 years on the job, Pete Buttigieg carried out his last official act as mayor of South Bend, Indiana on New Year's Day. He had said at the end of 2018 that he wouldn't be seeking a third term in office. Alrighty then. And Andrew Yang's campaign announced they had raised $16.5 million in the last 3 months. And one more casualty to report. Julian Castro, former HUD secretary under President Obama and the only Latino candidate in the field, has officially ended his campaign. Stay tuned. More fundraising numbers and possibly more dropouts will likely be forthcoming. The Australian state of New South Wales declared a week-long state of emergency on Thursday as raging wildfires forced evacuations all along Australia's eastern coast. There was a military-led naval rescue of thousands of tourists and residents who fled to the beach in Victoria. The fires have destroyed at least 350 homes and left at least 8 people dead and 17 missing in New South Wales and Victoria over the last week alone. The state of emergency, which starts Friday morning, empowers authorities to close roads, order mandatory evacuations, and do, quote, anything else we need to do as a state to keep our residents and to keep property safe. Ecologists at the University of Sydney estimated that 480 million mammals, birds, and reptiles have died in the blazes that have swept Australia since September, including a third of the koala population in their main habitat in New South Wales. And finally, with the beginning of 2020 came a bevy of new laws, including the statewide legalization of recreational marijuana in Illinois. And I love this. The state's lieutenant governor was one of the first in line. The day before the law went into effect, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker granted more than 11,000 pardons for low-level marijuana convictions. Elsewhere in the country, 21 states and 26 cities and counties raised their minimum wage. Several more jurisdictions will follow later in the year. Colorado's red flag gun law is now in effect, which allows family and other authorized parties to petition to temporarily remove firearms from someone deemed a danger to themselves or others. Tennessee is moving backwards, with regulations making it easier for residents to get a concealed carry handgun permit. Texting and driving is now officially illegal in Florida, thank you very much, and plastic bag bans have begun in Oregon and Albuquerque, New Mexico. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Look around and please click on that donate button.